I'm standing with my two Nordic skating companions, Jamie Hess and Paula Tracy, beside the frozen, obsidian Connecticut River.
What did you just say, Jamie?
I said you can hear the ice talking. And Paula said that's a good sign. And I said a lot of people don't understand that. But you're absolutely right.
So why?
When the ice is making noise, it means it's growing. So that's a reassuring sound.
When I was a kid and we heard the ice talking, we thought it was saying, beware of the terrible, dangerous ice. But Jamie's clear about the counterintuitive nature of ice. It gets bigger by getting smaller. It gets stronger by shattering apart. The safest ice is the clear black ice. With clear ice,
you can get an idea of the immense power of that water that's all moving in the same direction and ready to grab you and pull you underneath. So,
to that end, both Jamie and Paula have come prepared. Paula wears an orange ice all around her neck. Jamie, who also owns a ski and skate shop, has a more official-looking version around his.
In Sweden, they're called Isdub. And I didn't think that was a good name to sell them under in the U.S., so I decided to call them Ice Claws.
Before we get close to the ice, Jamie goes over some safety tips. All variations on what to do if you plunge into the void.
You're never totally submerged. You sometimes go in up to your neck, but usually not that far.
I thought this was going to be completely safe and pain-free.
You bought the wrong ticket.
No, it is completely safe and pain-free as long as you're properly prepared. Okay, so let's deploy some of this equipment.
I deploy a set of Isdub ice claws as Jamie hands out knee pads. The Nordic skates themselves are comically long. They look more like windshield wipers for the space shuttle than ice skates. Finally, Jamie hands out poles, basketless spears that also double as ice testers. It's a solid 8 inches of glass, and we glide out over the edge. As one of the first U.S. importers of Nordic skates, Jamie explains his business started almost by accident.
So I went over to Sweden to learn about their skating culture, and I accidentally learned all about the special skates they use. And on the plane flying home, I decided that I wanted to start importing all this equipment and importing the sociability of ice skating, basically recreating a little bit of Sweden here in New Hampshire and Vermont.
Paula waits until we're out in the middle of the most cracked and fragile section of the river to tell us her story.
It was on the Turkey Pond in Concord, and my mother was with me, and she went under one area, and I heard her go, ah! And as soon as I saw her, I started to sink myself. I started to feel this blackness break away and found myself in the same position. So I said, just rest, and I will break my way to the shore. And so I kept swimming in the direction of the shore. I was able to look down the lake and see them sprinting towards us. And they lay person to hockey stick to person and reached out with a hockey stick to my mother and was able to pull her with a hockey stick out of the water. The same thing for me.
And yet, here Paula is, undaunted. Here we all are, with Isdubs and ice alls around our necks. We're heading toward cold, warm-hearted Sweden. We're headed toward whatever it was that Joni Mitchell imagined lurked along the temporary road of her frozen, wished-for river. For NHPR, I'm Sean Hurley.
But it don't snow here, it stays pretty green. I'm gonna make a lot of money, then I'm gonna quit this crazy scene. I wish I had a river I could skate away on. I wish I had a river so long I would teach my feet to run.